Father in heaven, we thank you again for the day and this series we've been studying. What a joy to see some things on the horizon as we look at Israel and know today and compare the times we're living in. Lord, these are troubles and times. And God's people want to be able to see that scripturally. And we see that we have an answer for it and what we should be doing. We don't pick up arms like a lot of folks do in religious fields. But we do have the Word of God, the sword we have to use to instruct us, to show us some things in life. We have a throne to go to where God Himself sits at. And we have certain things that God teaches us that we should be doing in this life. In turn, acknowledge how much we need Him. And I pray you'd bless now as we come to this service today and open the Scriptures to our hearts to understand our times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you will, turn your Bible again to Judges chapter 21, and we'll read our text verse 25. Now, this is part three of what leads to spiritual apostasy. And these tapes together will give us a good insight, I believe, of something. It's not only we look at our time, and we look at Romans chapter 1, look at what God is telling us through the Scriptures and leading us towards the tribulation period, and to analyze our time and know that God teaches us in 1 Corinthians that if we go back to Israel's time, Old Testament, and see how God dealt with the apple of His eye, and in turn learn from that, because God, when it comes to sin and things in life, does not change. And ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing things in our country right now that I believe would horrify our forefathers. Because we started out right, even though we may have some people with problems in those days, like most any society would have. The Word of God was a big factor. And we have things in our Constitution, you see of that, and we're seeing many things of liberty, of worshiping the God of this Bible, like we should, has been destroyed today. And if you don't believe that, just give a little more time. If something don't change, it's going to be worse than it is now. I mean, it's one thing to be religious, another thing to be God-fearing. And so here in these few verses, here's what it says in verse 25. In those days, speaking of the days of the judges, some 305 years after Joshua, that he's dealing with the nation of Israel. In those days was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Every man, no king in Israel, meant that they had no authority there whatsoever in that particular day. So every man took the incentive, I guess, to say that I'm just as good as anybody else, and what I say is just as good, right as anybody else. Well, let's put it this way, folks. What we say is right, as good as anybody else, is not so. What God says is right is always so. Then they come back and say, well, who gives you the authority to look at this book? You can read as good as I can. You can read these scriptures as good as I can. And these scriptures, many times, if you be honest and open heart and read, God will reveal to us, especially His own children, if not to the world. We know they don't have the Holy Spirit of God, but we do. And having that helps us understand some things. Now, we said the downfall of people began in religious apostasy. Religious apostasy simply means to profess those who profess to have Christ, or those who profess something about the Lord, and yet they reject revealed truth. Revealed truth is something from God. A person who is a pseudo cannot accept revealed truth because they've already accepted something themselves, and if God said something is wrong, they think is right. They think that God didn't mean it that way for our day because we're more educated. Have more education, we have more, we're brighter, we have more things to understand, we've arrived a little more in our day. The trouble is, knowledge that's increased can be dangerous if God's not the center of it. And that's where we're at today. And so as I look at these things, we looked at a man called Michael, who was Mount Ephraim. We saw that his mother made a god for him in his house. We saw later that he also took a priest came through, and the priest hired himself out to Michael. And Michael felt very safe because he said, now I have a priest of my own and also have my own gods. As if he had every base covered as far as his life was concerned. And we see that God was very displeased with this at this time. Jonathan, we looked at also, was the son of Gershon, who was the grandson of Moses, where we ended up last Sunday. These were priests, or he was a priest, and those that were with him, a priest to the tribe of Dan, who set up Michael's graven image for worship at the time of the house, at the time the house of God was at Shiloh, and you see that in chapter 18 in verse 31. And so he he was also trying to worship God through a system that God had set up by having a priest, but he also was worshiping pagan gods. Now, Jonathan, you think, would have known better. Here is Jonathan, the grandson of Moses, knew what God had told Moses in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 and 4. Thou shalt not, he says, have no other gods before me. God said this. Thou shalt not make unto thee an engraven image, or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Here is Moses' grandson, a priest, with an idol, and instigating idols in the land, which God had forbid. So you see, it don't take long for a generation or next generation to lead a generation and following generation away from God. You remove this book, and you don't have much to show who God is. Amen. And this book is not only trying to be removed by rewriting it, but claiming that it's not what it is in our day because it has been written, written, and producing a generation who doesn't know the Lord. And the Bible talks about that. Here another generation rose up that didn't know God as he moved in Israel's life when they came out of the land of Egypt. And so we said, here's the real process of apostasy we've seen in the beginning. Now, the second point, which we got to last week, is the liberal road is the first step towards apostasy. And you're going to see some terrible things that happen here. And God shows us when sin is sin, he don't mind showing it because he's going to remove sin. He's going to remove it one day. He's going to destroy it one day, and anyone else who doesn't allow Jesus Christ to pay the sin debt for them. And when we look at these stories, they don't do something for us because we ought to be looking today. If God would do that to Israel, apple of his eye, don't think he won't do this nation one day when you find them rebelling against God and picking up things that they should not do and make it a lifestyle rather than just an incident. God is the same God. And so it's very important. And it's very disappointing when people and churches and denominations and colleges and universities go liberal. And we have to be very careful, ladies and gentlemen, because this can happen to anybody, anytime. Yes, even in our nation. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 9 tells us, a little leaven leaveth the whole lump. Sometimes when there's a little leaven in life itself, which represents a type of sin, there's those who say, well, isn't that bad? God's word said a little leaven, notice, leaveth the whole lump. So what happens if the whole lump is leavened by just a little leaven and accepted? Leaven will not just stay little if it's accepted. It will continue until it invades the whole lump. And that's what's happened. We said in the last few years, things are different now. We have rights. Our country gives certain rights to certain people that go against God. And a little leaven, which has always been here now, is manifested into a big lump. And next thing you know, this whole nation is going to be full, so full that God will have no alternative but let this nation do like all other nations down through history in the past have done, fail. We're not battling the Middle East when we talk about God. We're not battling another country somewhere. We're not battling a generation of people somewhere or another. This is talking about battling God. And no nation, no man can battle God and win. Now, when I see this, it makes me just want to say, Lord, please help me do what I need to do in time. I don't have much more. And the only thing I have is words. And so Moses' grandson, Jonathan, served as a priest. And yet, he had Michael's graven images in the tribe of Dan at the time. I read where Dwight L. Moody had a son that held an office in most liberal organization in the country for years ago, and it broke Moody's heart and never could ever get him to see otherwise. What a sad thing when people have the truth so much around them, and yet they accept pseudo stuff that comes from abstract situation and in places of life where in turn has no idea who God is and it influences the society, and that's just what's really happened to Israel. Now I want you to look with me. The book of Judges concludes by centering around the tribe of Benjamin. As we look in chapter 19, we will start at this time. It said this, verse 1 and 2, and it came to pass in those days when there was no king in Israel, and there again he says that, there was a certain Levite. He's going to tell us about another Levite. Now, we already seen, go back, I don't have time to show what the Levite did in Michael's house, who is a priest out for hire. Now, let me say this, if you will. Look at it just a minute. God has given an ensign in his people's, Israel's history, showing us what is the whole nation is headed. So that's just one case. No, he's showing us that this sin is so great. Notice what it leads to when it comes to see the sin in their midst. And instead of really correcting it like they should, they went to war with each other. And so when you look at these instances, so we have two Levites here that God gives in the book of Judges in these number of chapters. One of them was for hire and hired himself out instead of being where God would have him to be. And this other one stepped out of the bounds by what we're fixing to see in this particular chapter. And what God is letting us see in these men who were supposed to be the great leaders of the time, God had to raise judges up. He raised 15 of them up, and Samuel was the last one in a period of time. He put, for 305 years, he let them make their decision, raise a judge up to get them out of a mess, and then the judge would die, and then they'd go right back where they were, and he'd try them a period of time, and then he'd raise them up. He gave them ample time in judges who could lead them in the right way, and yet every time a judge died, they got worse and worse and worse, and now here's where we're at, and close to the end of the 305 years where this nation is at and what they're doing at this particular time. And so these verses, he said, and then it came to pass in those days when there was no king in Israel, there was a certain Levite sojourning on the side of Mount Ephraim, that's where we saw that Michael was at, who took on him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judea. Now notice, he took to him a concubine. And his concubine played the whore against him and went away from him unto her father's house to Bethlehem, Judea, and was there 4 whole months. Now, can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, this? These two verses, just along in itself, because it said, and the husband rose and went after her when she left him. And, of course, when she got there, her dad liked her husband, this Levi. These two verses gives an insight into the life of the children of Israel that day. Here is what we're seeing in these two Levites, the history of Israel of those 305 years, even having judges. When they had the judges and they did what the judges said, then God honor them. But when the judge died, he gave them a time to see what would happen. They went right back doing the things in their own eyes. And since they were in a land of pagan at this time, they had pagan gods there all the time, 100% of the time. And they had God there, which in turn seemed to be set aside unless someone was there to lead them like they should go. And so this is a good illustration, I think, what we're fixing to see in Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3. I want to turn to Romans with me just a moment in chapter 1. And then you'll see. You just watch what has happened, and we're going to read what God moved forward a few hundred years, about 1,500 years around that, ahead, and see what God told Paul to tell the church at Rome. And if you look, let's go read that, and then we'll go back and you'll see some things here that followed in that day to cause God to do what he did among Israel. And by the way, it amazes me when you see this taking place in Israel. We're looking at the tribe Dan now, and then you look at the 11 other tribes and what God does among them to check them out, because the whole nation of Israel this way, even though we had bickering between the tribe of Dan and what's fishing taken in Exodus chapter 19. But let's go back, and I want to just read this for history to get an idea in your mind. He said in verse 20 of chapter 1, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world, and Paul has given us this information about God. He said, is clearly seen, been understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, we know God, he said, everything they've seen, you heard me say before, in this universe, you're about to hide, be that which is in the heavens or microscope, whatever it is, we see to prove that there is a mind behind it, and that mind is Jehovah God of the Bible. Now, he said, they're without excuse. Why? Because, verse 21, when they knew God, they glorify him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. When they start down a road to doubt and remove God, their hearts turn dark. It's a sign that they were not where they ought to be, and therefore leadership was gone, no king, no authority, and people went back to the nature that they had and lived that which had to do with nature of sin. And so he goes on, he said, they profess themselves to be wise, they become fools. There's people today stand right before you and tell you they don't believe God meant what he said about some things in the Old Testament in a lifestyle. God said that they were abomination. God said that he would destroy them. And yet they say, no, that's not the way God is in the age of grace today. God says a people that does that, profess themselves to be wise, they become fools. Folks, now we can accept that or not. Rebel against that is rebel against truth. You can. God is saying, nobody's going to second guess me. Don't tell me that I said something 5,000 years ago And now today, change it. Unless I show you, I'd change it for the better. Now, well, I'm glad you heard me say, I don't have to bring a lamb here this morning. Jesus Christ is my Passover lamb. I've said it a number of times the last few weeks. And because of that, I'm glad I don't have to do what they did in the Old Testament. I'm glad I'm not a priest in the sense that you got to bring your lambs. I got to spend day in, day out killing lambs because of our sin. Because believe me, we'd have a lot of them. Amen? We would have a lot of them when we go against God. Israel had, it was a full-time job in priests in killing thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of lambs and different type of animals for sin because man is a sinner. Now watch what he says. And then he goes on and said, and they profess enough to be wise and become fools. How did they do that? They were wise and became fools because he said they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, to birds and to four-footed beasts and to creeping things. That is, they took God and set him aside and come up in their imagination with some type of figure who God was to them. And you heard me say before, they made them something they claimed had was God, and they gave it power which had no power. The power that was all that they gave the image that they made as God, and then that God became them, and they did what they wanted to do because they were controlling their God. By the way, that's what an idol is anyhow. I don't believe in a true and living God, so I make me something in turn of my mind or heart or where I can see that I say, this is my God, I give him power, and as long as I feel safe with him. By the way, would you not be safe, feel safe with a God you made for yourself? Don't you see how Michael was safe when he said, hey, not only do I have my pagan gods here, but I got to be a high priest from the Levites for the nation of Israel. I'm covered every way possible. He was covered because he thought he could do what he wanted to do and had to be accepted because he controlled his gods. And ladies and gentlemen, he goes on, he said this. He said, wherefore God gave them up to an uncleanness through the lust of their heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And then he picks up, which most people don't even like to read, and they say they change it. I've listened to the number of things I read in the last few couple of years that people said about these verses where they just said, and they're saying it don't mean what he said. What it used to mean. This means exactly what God used to say in the Old Testament when he gave the law. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know he's the one who inspired Paul to write this. And then he goes on, he said, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up with vile unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Natural use is the back God gave a man and a woman for the purpose of recreation. And two, that we would have children. The natural use is a relationship, intimate relationship between a man and his wife that in turn could be a reproduction of a human race in the image of God. And he said, but this cause gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change this. And he said, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error which was meet. I don't need to explain that. Amen. That's better than 2 plus 4. Or 2 plus 2 equals 4. Amen. And even as they did not like to, why did they do this? They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. This is the true God. Everybody has their own God. Then they can just say, well, I have mine, you have yours. We'll kind of agree together. But my God does for me and your God does for you. That's all that matters. I'm glad we got a God that does for all. And he said, and even as they did not like to retain God in the knowledge, gave them up, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient. Being filled with unrighteousness, and I won't read the next few verses. He lists 23 things there that he calls a sin that to do. And they know the judgment of God, he said. They know that. Now let's go back to the book of Judges and pick up the story. Can you imagine a Levite? Maybe you don't understand this. Levites, of the tribe of Levites, were the priesthood that God set aside for the nation of Israel to be priests for the different tribes of Israel. Can you imagine a Levite having a woman like this that he says called this concubine? You say, well, preacher, what kind of woman? A concubine was a woman who cohabited with a man, although she is not legally married to him, she's called his wife, acting like a secondary wife. And God never did approve that when he gave instructions. They could have wives, but they could not have what is called as a concubine. And she proved herself because she said after he took her in as his secondary wife, she became, and the Bible is very plain, ladies and gentlemen, as he talks about that she played the whore against him. You say, what does that mean? Go look it up. What he's saying, she went exactly away from him at the time because that's where she was at. He did this, and she played the harlot and left him and went back to her father's house. Now, I'm not going to read all this. I'm going to paraphrase and give you the verse in verse 2. In verse 3, this Levite, her husband, went after her. And then we see her father received him warmly so that he stayed several days, as we see in verse 4, down a few verses. He got ready to leave the next day, and he got him to stay the second day. And of course, as you read these stories down, if you get down to the 8th verse, and he arose early in the morning on the 5th day to depart, and Damson's father said, come in, try to get him to stay again, but he would not stay that particular day. The Levite and his concubine left and headed up northward, verse 10. They stayed one night in Gibeah, and city of the tribe of Benjamin, verse 14 and 15. That night, an old man from Mount Ephraim was there and offered them a place to stay. They were in the streets, had nowhere to stay. Verse 16 through 21. That night, some men of the city. Now, I want to read to you verse 22, 23, and 24. That night, ladies and gentlemen, well, let's just read it to start with. It says this. Now, as they were making merry, he's in this person's house who's got him to stay with. And now, as they were making merry their hearts, the hearts merry, the men of the city, certain of Bela, beset the house around about and beat at the door and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into thy house that we may know him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you go back to the book of Genesis and you see this is Sodom and Gomorrah, same type thing. Here they come in, they were in the streets, and this man knew that they couldn't stay in the streets without being attacked. And he saw them and brought them into his house. And they came. Now, I've heard stories this preached on before, and they leave that out. They talk about the 400,000 soldiers that 11 tribes had, and they go and bring some other things in. But they leave that out because this can be controversial today. And that's what's going on when you talk about spiritual hypocrisy. You leave some important things out. Why did this happen? It's showing us right now. What is fixing to happen to Israel? It shows right now. Amen. It starts out a little living and affects the whole nation as a whole. And it's going to be amazing. A lot of folks die because of this. Notice what he said. And the man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said, no, the word no is not like, hey, I'm glad, hey, howdy, let me shake your hand, I'm glad to know you. He's not talking about that no. That no is a relationship that has to do beyond just hello. I'll leave it there. And then he said, and the man, the master of the house, went out unto and said unto them, nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly. Wait a minute. Somebody said, this is not, hey, isn't it amazing? God, this man went and said, look, he even knew this. By the way, listen to me now. This is not pagans. This is Israel. This is in the Dan, in the tribe of Dan at this time. Notice what he says. And he said, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man is come unto my house, do not this folly. Don't do this. We're Israelites. We know what God has said. Behold, here is my daughter. Isn't it amazing? He was so strong, he had a daughter. Here's my daughter, take her. Here's his concubine, take her. Do what you want to with them. But watch, he says, and I'll bring them out in the right verse, and humble ye them, and do with them that seem as good unto you. But this to this man do not do, watch this, vile thing. Do not so vile a thing. Vile. Corrupt. Evil. Don't do this. Why is it that way? Because God said it was so. God put it, it's abomination. And then he goes on. As you see what's happening now, that night, some men of the city, wanting sexual gratification from this man, went and asked for him. The Levite, we just read, gave them his concubine. And they abused her all night and caused her death by repeating, raping her. This is the nation of Israel, this tribe of Tamen and Dan. Verse 25 tells us that. It says in verse 25, but the men would not hearken to him. So the man took his concubine and brought her forth unto them, and they knew her, there it is again, and abused her all the night until the morning. When the day began to spring, they let her go. And then we see her going back in verse 26. She came a woman to the dawn of the day and fell at the door of the man's house. where her Lord was at until it was light. And the Lord came up. Now we come to the place where she is talking, or he is talking. She can't talk. The Levite gave him his concubine. They abused her. This is parallel. Listen to me, folks. What we're seeing right here is parallel to our society, contemporary society today, to some degree. Maybe not in the same fashion, but it could be worse. And we'll talk about it when we get to that. We may have it in a level whereas it's different. The only problem about this is it could only be seen and heard around at that time what's going on. And what he did was to get the attention of the whole nation of Israel. By the way, this stuff going on today is in every home. I mean, you got it. Listen, pornography and websites and everything. Fine, you can go about anywhere in the world. You can get things today of little, where a little leaven used to be very little. Now, because of modern day technology, it's everywhere. You'd be surprised who get hung up on this stuff today. And by the way, that will lead a nation further from God. I know it's not good to hear that, but it will lead a nation further. Either you're going to try to please God or not please God. And if you don't please God, then God has to get further from you. To please him is to be closer to him. Now, this is interesting because this happens, and when it does, what an amazing thing. In verse 26 through 30, the Levite found his concubine outside his door. He said, "Get up, come on, let's go." But she couldn't move. She was dead. She was dead. He went into a rage. "This was done by my countrymen. I know what I'll do." If you read the verses after this, you find in verse 29 and 30, he took a knife and cut her in 12 pieces and sent a piece to each tribe of Israel. And here's what he said about that. "And it was so," in verse 30, "that all that saw it said, there's no such deed done nor seen from this day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt. Until this day, consider of it. Take advice and speak your mind." Nothing has happened since Israel has started as bad as this is. You say, "Well, that's terrible." Well, here's a guy that God allows us to do this to get to the nation what's going on. The nation had been looking over this. By the way, this wasn't the only place these things were happening about rape and so forth. Israel was in a pagan land, which had pagan gods, and Baal, by the way, we'll look at the end of this, part four next week. Baal was a god of fertility god, which they believed. And therefore, when it came to sexual gratification, it was anything that goes in that land. So what happened when God was put aside and no one would listen, then the next thing that came along was go back to the pagan ways. And since you had a lot of majority that way, everybody felt safe until God let the hammer fall. Ladies and gentlemen, this is so important. I know this is unusual. I thought about Sunday night, but I felt this is something to be done on Sunday morning because this is showing us how much we need the gospel. This is showing how much we need the Lord Jesus Christ. This is showing us in these last days God has not stopped saving souls. And God is still requiring that there be a voice of him. You know why? Because the church has begun to lose its voice. There's a nucleus that is, always has been and will be. But you got to look at today. The so-called church today is not what it was 50 years ago. Just look at what's coming up around us. And many of us in our day will be branded just like they were branded years ago, like they were branded in Christ's day, as just, you know, people that are really off base. We just lost it. We lost our mind or something. Got too much religion. No, those who don't serve God have too much religion. And so when I look, I'm seeing a tremendous thing take place. And he's saying this, that there's nothing like this since Israel's been done. And I put aside this years ago, this same thing is true in America. There is nothing today like it was when our forefathers started. There is nothing today like it was when I was born. In 24 years, I'll be 100 years old. What I'm saying to you, if you've got any time on you at all, you've seen a change. Young folks, we've seen a change. You just keep your eye. You listen to this preacher. You listen. If this nation don't understand where God needs to be in our hearts and lives, and you get to be my age and God don't come back for the church, you're going to see a worser change than what we've seen. because a little leaven leaveth the whole lump. But if it stays there, the whole lump gets leavened. And it can't do nothing but get bad, worse and worse. Now, how is God going to deal with this? Notice the terms that he used here. He said, out of the land of Egypt, until this day, he said, first of all, consider this. He couldn't get their attention by telling about it. I guarantee you, if he had nothing been done, she'd just been a dead person. He'd went on his business, and that would have been it. But brother, when he cut her up, and now listen, somebody said, well, isn't that amazing? That, you mean God didn't allow that? Well, he must have. He did it. You say, well, that's terrible. What supposed to do that today? He doesn't tell people. In fact, it would be a disgrace to even do that today, unless God would tell it. We have the Holy Spirit living in us, and we have a voice now. But in that day, he had to get their attention. There's no way they could get their attention. The other 11 tribes went on a thing. Dan went on about it. They'd swept it under the carpet. But brother, when those leaders in those 11 tribes got that piece of body, dismembered person, they got it and they said, what in the world is this? And so they began to investigate, and this is when they came together, and so it was that they saw it, that there were no such deeds done. We've never seen anything like this before. This is awful. And everybody agreed. And so what do we see taking place? When we look at the tribe of Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin had an opportunity to deliver up the offenders, but instead they declared war against the other 11 tribes. If you look in chapter 20, look down in chapter 20, and we want to look at verse 13 and 14. Now, therefore, well, let's go back to verse 12. And the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, what wickedness is this that is done among you? I mean, they get this piece of man line. They said, hey, over in the tribe of Benjamin. Now, hear me. Benjamin is like Joseph. Benjamin was the babe of the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph was the 11th son. Both of these were loved by the father. You read the story of Joseph, and you see Benjamin, how that's in. I don't have time to get into that now. So it's amazing that Benjamin was the tribe who brought about this disaster. You think been one of the others, but it won't. There's a reason I think God did that. And so what we see taking place at this time is he says that the tribe of Benjamin judged by God because of their gross immorality and lost a bunch of men because of this. The tribe of Benjamin had the opportunity to deliver up the offenders, but instead they declared war against the others. He said in verse 13, and therefore deliver us the men of the children of Bela, which are at Gilead, that we may put them to death and put away this evil from Israel. But the children of Benjamin would not hearken unto the voice of their brethren, to the children of Israel. But the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities into Gibeah to go out to battle against the children of Israel. And Benjamin was numbered at that time out of the city 26,000 men that drew sword beside the inhabitants of Gibeah, which was numbered 700 chosen men. They had 26,700 men, warriors, in that tribe. If you go back and see in verse 2, the other 11 tribes had 400,000 warriors. Now, let me ask you something. Israel said, Benjamin, give these men up. We need to deal with it. They need to be tried. They asked this. He said in verse 30 of chapter 19, consider this. Then take advice and speak your mind. Consider what's happened. Here's the evidence. They say, now take counsel. What we should do in the light of what God has given us. That's what it's been said here. And then let's speak your mind, Bible truth. The mind should be Bible truth. Speak your mind what we should do. And we come together that these men who did this deed should be delivered up to us to be tried and also punished for this deed that they did. Well, Dan, so they're not going to do this. And you go through and you begin to see the sequence of what's taking place here. It looked like Benjamin was having victory as you go through this story. If you look at it to begin with, and I'm going to have to close in just a minute, but then we'll finish up next week, part 4. Look, it says in verse 18, and the children of Israel rose and went up against the house of God and asked counsel of God. Now watch, they did try to do the right thing. He went and asked God, which of us should go up in battle, he says. And notice he said, and the Lord said, and how the Lord said, we don't know, through the prophet or whatever it was. Anyhow, they went to house God, did a few things, and asked what we should do, who should go up. And they just knew the 11 tribes were going to have victory over Judah simply because Judah had allowed this and wouldn't give up these men. And then he said, and the Lord said, let Judah shall go up first out of the 11 tribes. And when you see this taking place, they went up to battle. And then the children of Benjamin came forth. Now, they had 400,000 soldiers. Benjamin only had 25,000 plus soldiers. And it said, the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed them to the ground of the Israelites. That day, 22,000 men. They killed 22,000 men. And boy, the people, the men of Israel, encouraged them and set their battle array in the place that where they put themselves in array. And then again, the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord, even to ask counsel of the Lord, saying, shall I go up again to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother? Notice, they just said, went down and said, listen, we went up a little bit. Listen, we lost a lot of people. Should we go up again? And the Lord says, go up again. Why? They're asking in their own way. And you'll see that. And so the children of Israel came near again to the children of Benjamin the second day. And Benjamin went forth again, and out of Gibeah, and the second day, and destroyed down to the ground children of 18,000 men, all that drew sword. They lost 40,000 men, warriors, in 2 days, and Benjamin hardly lost anything. What in the world is going on? You got to read the rest of the story, as Harvard used to say. So all the children of Israel, again, it said, all the people went up and came into the house of God, and watch what they do this time now. They wept. And they sat down before the Lord, waiting upon him. They fasted that day even to even. And they offered, watch, burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. They didn't do that before. Now God says, God looks at them, they're in line. You see, not only does Dan need awaken, but the 11 tribes needs awaken. And he woke them up. 400,000 men, who wouldn't think you could? Hey, I don't care if you got a trillion men. When you fight against God's plan, you're going to lose. 400,000 against 25,000, you'd say, hey, we got them like, you know, sun and butter. And it looked like they did 2 days. Benjamin could rejoice the fact, man, that they come against us. We beat them. We killed 40,000 of their warriors. But watch what happens. Then, and we'll close at this and come back next week. Man, life sounds like a soap opera, don't it? But ladies and gentlemen, it's truth. You know what it is? You say, preacher, what? Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. God is letting us see he's still God. He loves man. But he can't let Satan run through like he does. And he has a voice now. When the voice is hushed, he does everything he can to disturb the voice of God so we can come back and at least take a stand. Like Israel. By the way, Israel was to represent God in their day. They're there in the land of Canaan to represent God. And now they've joined ranks with the land. The church today is to represent God. But what's happening? You find a lot of things in the church are joining the enemy. Religiously, but not with God's voice. And I tell you, when you see this, watch. It said, and when they did this, he said, watch what God said at the end of verse 28. He said, my brother, shall I yet again go up against the battle, the children of Benjamin, my brother, or shall I cease? And watch, and the Lord said, now go up for tomorrow. Watch this time now. He never said this before. Go up for tomorrow, he says, I will deliver them into thy hand. You know what they had done? They had perceived themselves before God and did what was right. They waited, they prayed, they wept, they gave the right sacrifice. Thank God, Jesus Christ is our right sacrifice, folks. Folks, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. Jesus Christ is our Savior, our Lord. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. In him we have life. And any time this society tries to destroy him or make him less than anything he is, ladies and gentlemen, they're going in the wrong direction. And the voice of God has got to be, we hold that ground no matter what. Not to be hateful. We don't get guns and go shoot. We don't. Hey, I wouldn't even dare try to do something like this man did. But he had no way to get the attention of the rest of the tribes of Israel. Nowadays, you do something, you'd be on all over the world in just a matter of an hour through a technology. So you don't have to do something to get the attention now. In fact, they're getting the things that people are doing is getting their attention. And you see it within just a matter of time. So we have ways to do things now, whereas they didn't have in that particular day. And here we find God gave them time to repent. He gave Israel time, and they finally did the right thing. He gives Benjamin time, thinking, well, they didn't see fit to do anything. They're correct. They didn't see fit to do anything. Why, they're winning. They killed 40,000. They didn't lost on anybody. But watch what they had to pay. Now the third day comes, and the children of Benjamin went up. And now Israel had got an idea. They have leaders. That is ambush. They've learned how to ambush. And they go up towards the city there at Gibeah. And the field, about 30 men, the first, they went into the city to attack. They did. They had this strategic way. And Benjamin came out and killed about 30 of their people. And then Israel turned and started to run. And they said, we're going to do it again. Watch what they say. And the Benjamites said, they're smitten down before us as of the first. But the children of Israel said, let us flee and draw them from the city unto the highways. And so what happened? When that group started running, Israel had always these places that they had for watch ambushing set up. And when Benjamin took after them, watch what happened. And the men of Israel rose up out of their place in verse 33, and there came against Gibeah 10,000 chosen men out of Israel, and the battle was sore, but they knew not that evil was near them. And the Lord, Benjamin didn't, and the Lord smote Benjamin before Israel, and the children of Israel destroyed of the Benjaminites that day 25,100 men that drew swords. They wiped Benjamin completely out. God used this to show that there's evil in the land, and the nation of the apple of his eye, instead of being, when the judge went down, later God gave him a king. And here he gives an example, and you know why God told, go read what, in 1 Corinthians 10, he said, you go back and read how God dealt with Israel, and that should help you to know that he's the same God. He did it for Abraham, he did it for us, so we could learn from that experiences and realize God is still on the throne. In the age of grace, now it's a little bit different because Christ lives in us. In the age of grace, we don't have to go to the temple to get the Word of God. We have the Word of God here. So we have an advantage that those people didn't have. But I want you to know what leads to spiritual apostasy is a little leaven that gets in the lump and it's not dealt with until it fills the whole lump. And therefore, there is a profession of something religiously, but a rejection of revealed truth. And ladies and gentlemen, this helps me understand. I'm glad that the God that we serve through Jesus Christ knows who we are and what we're trying to do. And it might mean sometimes these men who lost their head over in the Middle East back a few months ago because they just stood for that cause of Christ. That's a horrible thought for us to think. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, hear me. The true church, one day is going to be taken out of here. We're victories. We've already won. But we may have to go through some rough times in this life. A lot rougher for now. You and I, a lot of us may be gone. The Lord don't come back for the church. But I'm going to tell you, that little lump, it is worse now in our nation than it's ever been. Are you saved? If not, then you don't understand what I'm talking about. If you are saved, you want to know. And what you're going to see here in this, how much God really loved Israel. She was the apple of his eye. And he really loves the church because Jesus is the cornerstone. He's everything to you and I. And we need to understand that the same God who Israel served, same God that we have to serve, and in the age of grace, Jew and Gentile serve him alike. And we have to be born into the family of God. Would you stand to your feet? And I'll finish this next week because I want to bring how does this fit today? I want to show you, even though it's different, there are some things happening right now, documentation. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, you can pray about anybody's name except the name of Jesus Christ? You know you can use anything in this life except the name of Jesus Christ. And you know this? I'm going to tell you something. Those who love God and believe this book are going to understand what we say. Those who don't won't and become our enemies. We're in terrible times. If there's ever been perilous time, it's today. And if you know anything about this book, you know right now that there's a great hindrance to the Word of God in general. to do what God said do. Even to go knock on doors is a hindrance now. That we never seen. I didn't clean. I see that. Never seen before. And all the thing we have is a loved Savior to present. We don't beat down their head. We don't try to do anything. We just go and say, listen, let us tell you about the Lord. Not maybe like you've heard that the people don't pray at his name, things like that. Let us tell you about what the Lord has done. Let just give us, it take 10, 15 minutes to tell you what the Lord has done. And most people today, used to, they say, well, come on in. Most people, they say, I don't want it. That's not for me. Because you know what? Their mind has been damaged by what they see and hear in that little leaven of the lump. Father in heaven, thank you for these people here today. Lord, bless this. I know this is something that you don't hear a lot, but I thank thee, Lord, there are a few across this nation that sees this and are in their, trying to submit to you, and their people are, for information, Lord. We're not going to take guns and go forth. That's not it. The pagan world does that. Only thing we have is the Word of God, the most powerful thing we have. And God can be honored because of the Word being presented. And our Father, there's no, anybody can take what I have talked about today and read it carefully, verbally, and in turn see exactly what's going on if they know Jesus the Savior. Lord, this book is given for your people, that we might learn how you started, what you did before we come to our age, where we're at today, what's going to happen after this life, you know, the tribulation period, the millennium reign. All of that, God has given us insight through this precious book by the Holy Spirit of God to see some things. And Lord, that helps us when we look at the past, when we have to face things in the present, to understand we'll know better than the apostles were when they ended up having to go to jail. Lord, they were standing for principles about Jesus Christ, and so must we. If a person can put some kind of statue up somewhere or another in this nation, in another religion, and yet take down a cross because it represents Christ, it shows us a lot of things happen in this nation, Lord, that wouldn't have happened 50, 60, 70 years ago. Help someone see today how much you love them. Help someone see, because when we talk about Christ, we're not talking about religion. We're talking about birth. If someone in this auditorium not saved today, or in the junior church or somewhere or another, or listen by Ustream or hear by the radio, let them hear the voice of God. Help them to understand, Lord, there is one who loves them, not some pseudo imagination of someone's heart and mind claiming God to be something, but a God who loves them and has proved that they love them because of Jesus Christ on Calvary. What manner of love that you bestowed upon us that we could be called children of God. We were without God. We were enemies of God, Ephesians 2 tells us. Dear Father, we were strangers. There was no looking for you at all, the true God. But Jesus came in a wicked heart that convicted us in our hearts and drew us to the Lamb of God, the Holy Spirit did. And the day that we asked you to come in our heart, we thank thee for the salvation. You'll do that to anyone else who will acknowledge who they are and receive Christ as their Savior. To as many as receive him, to them he'll give the power to become sons of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.